but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Sends the scripture reading this evening. Well, everyone pursues wealth one way or another in this world. There's many different ways to pursue wealth. Some people work hard. Some people work too hard at pursuing wealth. Others just inherit it. Others still try to gamble for it and pursue it in inappropriate means. A friend of the family once said to us that he went to the racetracks, the horse races, regularly. And he viewed this as his part-time job. And he said that he took $20,000 a year out of the racehorses. Every time he shared that story, he failed to mention how much he put into the races each year, but nevertheless, he viewed this as a means of earning wealth, whether or not he actually broke even or had any benefit. But so there are these various ways of pursuing wealth, right, and some illegitimate. But there is a sense in which parallels our pursuit of holiness. There are various ways to pursue holiness or to chase after holiness, to be more and more holy. And some ways are not ways that God has prescribed, not ways that God has provided for us to be more and more holy. And the way in which we see in our passage this evening that Paul speaks of building us up in the faith and growing us up in holiness or in godliness is His Word, His perfect and holy Word. You see, God builds you up in your faith and sanctifies you through His perfect Word. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Isn't that great to hear that God is building up your faith and sanctifying you through His perfect Word? And as Paul describes that to Titus, he begins with one of his classic introductions. And so we see here, first and foremost, how God is using Paul. He says, "Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ." Now, this is a typical introduction, as I said, in most of his letters. And here he is writing to Titus, we see in verse 4, to Titus, a true son in our common faith. Now, this doesn't mean that Titus, of course, is his biological son or his son by ordinary generation. Instead, this is his son by regeneration. It's his son in the faith, very likely a convert of Paul. Now, Titus is the pastor in Crete, and so Paul is writing to Titus. But the introduction is arguing for Paul's apostolicity, arguing that he is an apostle worthy to be listened to. And he does this in all of his letters, but it's kind of striking that he would do so when writing to a fellow pastor, as if this pastor needs this lengthy line of argumentation that, okay, I should listen to Paul, I should heed his instructions and his warnings from this book. But the reason that that is because Paul's not merely writing to Titus. This is not just a one-on-one letter, a personal letter. This is expected that Titus would share this with his congregation, that Titus would share this in Crete with the Cretans. But so he's writing because he understands that he is writing Scripture. And this is for a broader audience. Sometimes it's said that if the Apostle Paul were to be here today and to walk through the back door of our church, that he would be surprised that we're still reading his letter today. He might be surprised at some things for walking through a 21st century door in the back of a church, but he would not be surprised that we are still reading his letters, because he intended them to be read broadly. He intended them to be read by the church, and he understood that he was writing and recording the very revelation of God, the scriptures of God's word. And as he writes this, then, he does so in a time after he wrote the book of Philippians. We just got done with the book of Philippians. You remember he was writing as a prisoner in Rome. This is after that time, because in the book of Acts, he only, as it's recorded in the book of Acts, he only briefly passed through Crete. It would not have been long enough for him to establish a church plant and see converts flourish there and to be able to appoint Titus and leave him there. We'll look more specifically at this next week as we look at verses 5 and following. But the point is, this must have been after he was released from his imprisonment the first time in Rome. And what scholars taught his fourth or sometimes his fifth missionary journey when he went to Crete and planted a church there. So he's writing it after that time, writing to the pastor there, Titus. And he says that he is a servant of God in verse 1 there. He is a slave of God. Now, it can be rightly said that we're all slaves of God, right? We all must obey God, and we don't have the prerogative to do whatever we want. We must obey His Word. But here Paul's speaking more specifically that he is an apostle. That's the type of slave he is. This is his office. Now, it's worthwhile noting that the officers of the church are first and foremost slaves. And who are honored perhaps the most in the church are the ones who are servants. And we can see then, of course, Christ's teaching: if you want to be first, you must be last. If you want to be great in the kingdom, you must be a servant of all, right? And so this is what we see then with Paul as an apostle. And as I said, he understands that he is conveying God's word to God's people. And we see that more specifically as he goes on in verse 1 to talk about how his purposes are built. See there as he continues, he says, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Now, this is not a very easy sentence to understand, perhaps, in its translation, when it uses words like according to. But what he's saying is that he is an apostle for the sake of building up, or for the sake of the faith of God's elect. You see, his canonizing of Scripture, his writing of Scripture, is for the very purpose of our faith, of the people of God's faith. And he goes on then to say, he says, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Now, again, that's not very clear to understand from the English, but what Paul is doing there is actually defining faith of sorts. Let me put it this way: according to the faith of God's elect, which is the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. In other words, as we come to a knowledge of the truth, and as we believe in that truth, that is faith. Understanding and believing and trusting in that truth, and then that faith accords with godliness. This is Paul's definition of faith, essentially. And so faith, then, is understanding the truth and believing it. Now, we can have an understanding of facts and not believe them, right? Well, we do this all the time. When it comes to junk food, perhaps, oh, I know that this is not good for me. We might even be sticking the junk food in our mouth and saying, oh, I know I shouldn't be doing this. And we still do it. We know it's not good, but we don't believe it enough to actually stop. Or, I know I need to be exercising, I just don't do it. You see, we can have a knowledge and not actually believe it. And so faith is understanding the truth and embracing it, believing it, trusting in it. And this is the very purpose for Paul writing Scripture and conveying it to the people of God, that they might know the truth of God's Word and believe it more. And so God is building up your faith by His Word. Do you view God's Word in such a way that when you read it, that you are reading it because God is growing you up and strengthening you? Do you see the vast importance of God's Word? Oh, how quick we are when we become busy to set aside our daily intake of God's Word. Oh, I'm too busy today to get to it. But if this is the means that God is using to build us up and believe in Christ more, this should be one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, we're doing every day. May I speak to fathers for a minute? Fathers or husbands, are you feeding your family on God's Word daily, in family worship or in family devotions? Do you see the importance of the daily diet of God's Word, that this is God's means of building up you and your family's faith more and more? Do you believe this? Do you want more faith? Who among us would say, no, I don't want more faith? Of course we want more faith. Well, we need to be people of the Word then, being in God's Word regularly. And again, this produces godliness. We see that this is the acknowledgement of the truth, verse 1 again, end of verse 1, acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. You see, as we understand and believe the truth, it always results in a change of behavior. Sure, we're justified by faith alone, absolutely. But that faith is never alone. And as we believe, our lives will change. And just as Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit, so your faith will be shown by your life of godliness, by your life. If you believe the truth of God's Word, you will live differently. Just as I was talking about the junk food, if you really believed it wasn't good for you, really believe you shouldn't eat it, you wouldn't. Right? One thing with sin. We do the exact same thing as we cry out to God, God, I promise I won't do this again, as we repent for the 119th time or whatever the case may be. We keep enduring the same sins and going back to the same sins. And yet, has our belief really changed the way we live? But there is good news in that if you are truly in Christ, you are being changed. Because true faith always results in change. And so if you're discouraged this day with where you are in your own walk, know that you are changing. There is progress. God is sanctifying you and making you more holy through His Word. Are you discouraged with one another and where they are in their faith? Are you discouraged with your spouse, with where they are in their walk with God, or with something that they struggle with in particular? Well, if they're truly in Christ, you can know that they will not be the same person in 5 years, 10 years, or however long. We need to be patient with one another, just as we're patient with ourselves in our sins. You see, because God is changing us, He is sanctifying us by His Word. And He does so by His perfect Word. We see in verse 2. Let me just read a little bit of verse 1 as well for the sentence to make more sense. According to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Now this hope of eternal life, which God promised before time began, is the very gospel itself. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the fullness of time, we see in verse 3, but has in due time manifested His Word, that the gospel became clear in time, but it was promised long ago, all the way back to Genesis 3:15. God promised the coming of the Son who would crush the head of the serpent. The gospel was promised from the beginning of time, as verse 2 says, and it was manifested when Christ came and lived out the gospel itself. And so this is what Paul is talking about. This is the hope of eternal life, which was promised, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he says, in the midst of that, that God cannot lie. The gospel has been promised to you. The hope of the gospel has been promised to you by a God who's incapable of lying. Yes, I said that correctly. He's incapable of lying. We talk about our God, how He can do anything. And there are clever mind games or questions that people ask. Can God create a stone so heavy that He cannot lift it? Or things like this. And we say, well, God can do anything. Well, yes, He can do anything according to the counsel of His holy will. And He cannot lie. That is contrary to His will, contrary to who He is. He is incapable of lying. And so the truth that you have in front of you, brothers and sisters, this word is perfectly true. It is the very mind of God as He has conveyed it to His people. And every word you read can be trusted. And every promise can be embraced as absolutely certain. Because He cannot lie. Do you believe that God's Word is perfect? I mean, if you do, that changes the way we read it, right? Perhaps some of you have your favorite authors, that when a new book comes out by that author, oh, I have to get that. That's my favorite author. I'm so glad that they released a new book, and you just have to buy it right away. Well, God wrote a book. God is an author of a book. This is God's book. And every word in it is perfectly true. And shouldn't we want to voraciously read it just as much, way more actually, than our favorite authors? Because God Himself is the author. And as we read His Word, it's the same as hearing Him speak to us now today. Don't we often look back at the Old Testament saints with a little bit of envy? Wouldn't it be great to hear God speak to us from a bush? Or be like the disciples and walk with Jesus and hear the living God speak to us? Well, God does speak to us, saints. And He speaks to us in His Word. We have His living and active Word before us. Why would we not want to read it? Why would we not want to consume it, live it, and breathe it out? But notice as well that Paul says that this is especially through the preaching of the Word in verse 3. But has in time manifested His Word through preaching. It's so fascinating that the gospel is proclaimed. Here's Paul going on missionary journeys and he's preaching. He's getting up and he's speaking and people are being saved. Isn't that miraculous? That a person would speak and hearts are changed and people become new creations, because this is how God has ordained the gospel to go forth. And people are being saved and being changed. But not only is the proclamation of the gospel one of the means that God uses to convert sinners, but it's also one of the main means that God uses to sanctify His saints, to build us up in the faith, to believe more. You see, we read in Romans chapter 10 when we began, and how shall they hear Him without a preacher? That we hear Christ in the preaching of God's Word. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, we give thanks to God always for you, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel. The gospel, as it's proclaimed, calls us to the truth, to believe it more. And it is a means that God uses to make us more holy as well. You see, we hear Christ in the preaching. He builds us up in the faith. We are sanctified more and more because it's Jesus Himself who's preached. It's Jesus' gospel that's preached And He is the one who uses it to change our lives. Isn't it fascinating that we pay thousands upon thousands of dollars to send people to college? And what do they primarily do? They sit and listen to someone speak. And they read books. And this is what prepares them for their job that they're trying to obtain. They listen to teaching and they read books. And this changes them and transforms them. Well, how much more so God's perfect Word as we read it? It changes us. And as someone stands and speaks it and preaches it, that it changes us. That this is one of the main means that God uses to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you view the Lord's Day as one of the main ways that God makes you more holy? That gives you, He gives you more faith, builds you up in it. Do you view the Lord's Day as one of, if not the, high points of your week? And do you view the preaching of the Word as something to be excited for and to pray for and to sit on the edge of your seat of sorts, longing to see how God will unveil His riches to you this week? What do you have for me this week, Christ? Oh, I'm excited to learn. I'm excited to hear. And this is sort of preaching to the choir, but do you view it as important to be here twice weekly? Not just once weekly, but both morning and evening. And what about your children? Do you believe it's important to keep your children here in the service, under the preaching and reading of the Word? Because even children, though they might not understand everything that's being said, but this is what God has ordained to sanctify us, build us up in the faith. Do we see it as vastly important and something not to be missed? See, this is what God has given us. And how many books are there in this world that promise us wealth by just reading the book? If you read this book, you'll become an overnight millionaire. Or if you just read this and take a few steps, this is how you'll gain wealth without really lifting a hand and not working much. And all these promises that we see in secular books. Well, how much more so a holy book? A book that is living and active. And it doesn't make us millionaires. And it doesn't require no work. But God has given us this Word. And He is using it to transform you and to change you and to make you more and more like Jesus Christ. Are you loving His Word and delighting in it week by week as you know that God builds you up in the faith by His perfect and holy Word? Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we do thank You that You have given us Your truth. That You've not left us guessing, Father. That we don't have to stumble as blind men wandering in the darkness. But Lord, You've revealed Yourself. And You have given us a Word that is reliable, is able to be believed in every word of it. And Lord, we thank You that every word of it is useful for preparing us for a life of godliness and even making us more and more godly. So we pray, Lord, that You would, by Your Spirit, apply Your Word to us day in and day out. May we be people of the Word. May we be people who long for the Lord's Day to sit under Your Word, read and sung and preached, as we long to be people who look more and more like Jesus Christ. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that it is You who applies Your Word, and that that is one of the main reasons why this Word is not like any other ordinary book, But you are the author, and you are the interpreter, and you are the applier. Continue to apply it to our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.